stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome into Grinding the Edge, episode number 29, here on South Harmon. I am your host, Koopa. You can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. Always feel free to reach out to me with questions, with anything that you might want help with. I know that I get reached out to a decent amount where I'm trying to help people understand teams, understand some of the concepts that either I talk about or potentially others here at South Harmon talk about. In general, I'm just trying to help everybody that listens to this become a better dynasty manager. So feel free to reach out to me on whatever method that you want. If you want to come and support South Harmon, you can always go to patreon.com/South Harmon. Or go to southharmonff.com and sign up for the Warp Tool. The Warp Tool is the tool that I've made to help you analyze your leagues, and it also comes with the League Simulator. The League Simulator is something that I use extensively to make sure that my team is in a good position to be able to compete for the upcoming year, or for the rest of the season, or whatever time frame. And sometimes it helps give me a reality check that I need. If you want to hear more about how I use that, go and listen to last week's episode, episode 28, where I go through one of my teams and talk through what it takes for me to decide whether I need to rebuild or compete with a team that I expected to be doing really well and is really not in position to do that right now. In addition, make sure to go check out our sponsor, Ultimate Autographs. At Ultimate Autographs, you can get all sorts of amazing signed memorabilia that you want to fill out your home and any of your spaces where you want to show, yes, I know about all of these amazing players and I love supporting them. Just go to signed shit, that's signed sh.it, and use the code HARMON15 at checkout to get 15% off. Once again, that's signed shit, signed sh.it, and use the code HARMON15 to get 15% off. At this point in the season, we have gone through 6 weeks and we're about to go through our seventh. That will take us to the halfway point of this year, and that means right now is the time for reflection. At a certain point, it's going to be too late to change anything that you've done this season. And if you are attempting to make any changes to your process and pay attention to, hey, what am I doing as a dynasty manager? This is the time to recognize, hey, this is what I have not done well and what I need to change for the remaining 8 weeks. Because once you hit 8 weeks, it's going to be playoffs and everything that you do from a season-long standpoint no longer applies. It becomes a week-to-week game and that's what you're competing with. You compete with 1 week and either you continue on or you're out. Whereas these remaining 8 weeks, you can afford to potentially lose one or two of them and be fine. You won't instantly get knocked out of playoffs unless you were already at the point that you needed to win every single game in order to make it in. So to demonstrate how I go through this exercise, I'm going to be going through my own check-in right here on this podcast. I'm going to talk through all of the topics that I've covered so far in this Grinding the Edge podcast series and figure out, okay, how well am I following them, and do I need to make any changes, be more cognizant of anything in my own process in order to have more of an impact for my teams the rest of this season. So let's go through the first thing that I talked about, which was tight ends don't matter. How has that strategy really been going this year? Well, if you've been listening to the Tight Ends Don't Matter segment, it hasn't been going that well for those teams that did not have any tight ends at all. That I was literally playing the absolute bottom of the waiver wire. I'm picking up my Tommy Trembles and my Foster Moreaus, and that's who I'm playing. And like guys like that, it just really has not worked out very well. However, there is a difference between the teams that are that far down and the teams that had those Juwan Johnsons that I just couldn't sell. the teams that happened to have an Isaiah Likely that nobody wanted to buy at the beginning of the season. The teams that are sitting there with a Noah Fant that nobody wanted to buy before the season. Like, those sorts of teams, those are doing quite well. All of your Noah Fants, your Hunter Henrys, your Juwan Johnsons, your, like, all those guys in that range that we always point out, like, hey, they're great values, but, you know, nobody cares about them because they could just fall off a cliff and be nothing immediately. Those are the kinds of players that are producing consistently enough and being close enough to the top tier that there really isn't a difference. The top tier this year really has not materialized the way it has in years past. You just go look at Warp. Tight end is depressed. Listen to my Warp Review podcast from a couple weeks ago, and I talked about how the tight end value compared to previous seasons just is not there at the top end. And even in the mid-range, it's just not quite there. So all of those guys that were okay, they're consistent enough to not put up a bunch of zeros on your team, they are actually doing really, really well in giving you the value and allowing you to spend it elsewhere, because you don't need to go out and try and find a tight end difference maker for your team. Now, what does that mean? It means that if you are in the situation that, okay, you lucked into a Brock Bowers, you need to understand that you actually have a difference maker on this team. You need to understand that if you're looking at a Travis Kelce, where at least if you look at the past couple weeks, it looks like he's becoming one of the top tight ends yet again here, with the removal of Rashee Rice from the Chiefs offensive system, that, okay, I actually have a difference maker. And that is something that you need to lean into. And you need to understand that you are one of the few teams that actually has that difference maker. And it is an extremely large advantage. And if you're a team that is looking for that difference maker at tight end, you also need to know there's not that many guys to target. In previous years, there might have been as many as 6 to 8 tight ends to target. And this year, there's not that many guys. And so what you want to be doing is either recognizing, hey, I can live without it, and I'm just going to ride the swings of having better wide receivers, better running backs, better quarterbacks, guys like that, as opposed to the tight end, or that you need to be able to go in and pry this top tight end that's actually a difference maker off of somebody else. The thing is, that's going to be hard. More than likely, those tight ends are on teams that are competing, teams not motivated to sell. So you need to understand that there's not these free guys floating out there. Last year, there was 6 to 8. That means that there was more than likely 2 or 3 guys on teams that weren't competing that you could just go out and get, and that they were motivated to sell because those guys were putting up points on their team. This year, we don't have that, and that's something that you need to take into account. The second thing that I learned from my podcast is trading. And a couple of the big things that I commented on was the trade cycle, both across the season and week to week. Most trades happen Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, and they kind of fizzle out towards the end of the week, and they become even lower over the weekend. And this is something that I didn't intentionally do, but I have actually stumbled into this accidentally. So on Tuesdays is when I go through, I do all my waiver claims and all my leaks. And a nice thing about going through and doing all your waiver claims is you kind of get a little bit of a reset, and you take a look at your teams and go, hey, which ones do I need to make moves on? And then that's kind of percolating in my head. And so all day Wednesday, I'm thinking about, hey, I kind of need some guys that are this position of this value on this team. And so then Wednesday, I'm able to go and send out a bunch of those trades. And that allows me to either get them accepted on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, maybe go back and forth on Thursday a little bit. And usually I can get all of that done across those couple days. That is something that I have accidentally played into. It is not something I didn't intentionally go out and say, I'm going to try and send out all these offers on Wednesday because I know that's in the trade window. I just kind of stumbled into that and building my routine. And this is something that if you are also out there going, okay, I want to try and increase the number of trades that I'm making, increase the chance that I'm going to get these deals done, maybe incorporate that into your routine. Pick a day that is in that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday time frame, hopefully before the Thursday night game, and send out a bunch of trade offers. Just get it as part of your routine and make sure that you are taking advantage of that window, that you're putting those offers out there and making sure that they have the opportunity to get done. Now, as for the larger trading perspective, trading tends to go up as the season goes on, and so that is something you also need to start paying attention to. It's probably a little bit more annoying if you've been spamming out a bunch of trades to be like, man, I've already sent all these out. Do I really need to do them again? The answer is yes. They are more likely to get done now, even if you've been spamming them a bunch weeks 1 through 6. So you need to go through and continue sending out these trades, come up with more creative offers, and continue to either try and buy players, try and sell players for various draft picks, go and get those injured guys, if you're a rebuilder, off of those competing teams, and try to find a way to get those points that you still have on your team onto theirs, because you want to try to help yourself continue to tank, because your competitors are slowly going to be doing that as well. So that's the main thing with trading that I need to make sure that I am getting done, and that you need to do as well, is just continuing to grind and continuing to send those trade offers out. We are in the middle of October, and the time frame for most trades to get done is right up through the Thanksgiving weekend. We have another couple weeks. Right now we are into week 7. Week 11 is the peak. We need to make sure that week 11 is when we're focusing in on, hey, this is when I'm sending out all of those trade offers. And week 11 is right in the middle of November. By the time we get to Thanksgiving, a lot of your trading opportunities are going to be done. And you're going to have a lot of teams that are not quite as receptive to trading anymore in the wide open kind of wild west that you can get in weeks 10 and 11, where a lot more teams think they have a chance to making the playoffs and they really don't. So that's the kind of opportunity that you need to take advantage of, is continuing to send out those offers. Make it known that you are willing to trade, even if it's not necessarily like the biggest, flashiest trade. I am paying attention to who in my league is making trades, and I'm sure all of your league managers and you are as well. And so if you see somebody's making trades, who are you going to go reach out to first? The person you think you're going to get a response from, and it's the person that's out there making a bunch of trades in the league. You want to be one of those people. You want to be seen as someone that they can reach out to. They will get a response. They will get a counter back. They will get some. They can go to you and say, hey, I'm looking for this kind of deal. Are you willing to do that? And you'll be either like, yes, I'm willing to do that, or no, that is fine. What you want is people reaching out to you just as much as you're reaching out to them. Because if you are reaching out to people, it takes you 11 times the amount of effort to reach out to all the other managers in your league compared to them to reach out to you. And so that's the kind of thing you want to cultivate. You want to make sure that they are coming to you and that they know that you are open for business. The next thing that we have is talking about being the first and second seed. So I did a whole episode and I've talked about it at length that you want to try and be the first and second seed so that way you can get that first round bye. It is so important to have that first round bye. It literally triples your chances of the amount of money that you're going to make in the league. And that's just the kind of thing that we want to have as managers. We just want to make sure that we are in a position to win the championship, because a lot of our money goes to first place and second place. Third place might get like their buy-in back, but where the real money is if you can finish first or second. And just by skipping that first week, by skipping that matchup against the 6 seed or the 5 seed or whatever, you are taking away a huge variability factor that is going to help you a ton when it comes to playoffs. So when I went through this at the beginning of the season, I had 41 leagues that I was looking at, and I had 6 projected to finish first or second, and 14 to finish the playoffs without a bye. Now, what I said there was I was going to try and push more of those teams into finishing first and second, and the ones that were at the fringe of the playoffs, I was going to try and drop them out. So in an ideal world, that I would probably see somewhere like 9 or 10 in first or second, and I'm probably only seeing like 5 that are making the playoffs outside of that. That's my ideal, but realistically, I don't think that's necessarily that feasible to do just because of variance and things like that. And that's kind of what I see in my current scenario. So I still only have 6 teams that are projected to finish with a first or second round bye. And I have 11 teams that are projected to finish with in the playoffs if the season were to end right now. So if you look at those numbers at a raw value, you'd be like, hey, Koopa, like, you started with 6 teams that should finish first or second and 14 that should make the playoffs. And all you've done is you've now removed 3 teams from teams that would make playoffs. So you've done worse. You've actually gone backwards. However, of the teams that are playoff eligible, of those 11, 6 of them are either in third place, which means they're in striking distance of that second, or they have more points forced than enough other teams in the league, they should be in that first or second place. So I have a bunch of teams that are in the right position that due to variance or they're really close to it of being in that first or second. And so if you were to pretend all of those were first or second place teams, that would bring my total to, hey, I have 12 teams that are in first or second, and I have 5 that are just kind of getting into the playoffs. And that's that ideal that I'm trying to be. It's just I need to make sure that I focus in on those teams, more specifically the ones that are not having the points force of the first or second place, but are sitting there in third. What do I need to do to bump those teams up in order to get them into that first or second round bye? A lot of those teams are just 2 games behind in leagues where we're playing against the median, and some of them are even just 1 game behind. And that's the kind of thing where I need to focus in on how do I make sure that I am not blowing too much on just getting this one season over with, and instead balancing out dynasty value versus right now production in order to push these teams up the next level so I'm not dropping any more games, especially against those top competitors, those teams that are in first or second right now. Because if I can beat them and I can beat them consistently over the rest of the season, then that will more than likely vault me up. And it's far enough out in the season that I'm likely going to play those teams once, maybe twice. And so I have a prime opportunity to cause some of those matchups to go in my favor. And so right now I am already planning out, okay, I need to target those teams and target when I'm going to see them. And that might be a little bit of like bye week manipulation too. Hey, I'm playing the top team in week 12. Well, all right, I need to make sure that when week 12 comes around, I don't have a bunch of guys on bye. Same thing goes if you have a really tough matchup week 14. Like, know that week 14 is going to be real rough. You've got a lot of good teams that are on bye in week 14, and you need to make sure that your team is ready to go up against one of the other top teams in the league. Now, you can also take advantage of that if the other top team in the league, they have a bunch of players on bye and you don't. That's great if you're already in that position. But if they don't have a lot of players on bye in week 14, a lot of their heavy hitters, you need to make sure a lot of your heavy hitters also don't have that week 14 bye. And you might have to get a little creative to figure out how to reorient your team in order to work around that. So those are the kinds of things that I am currently looking into and going to try and figure out for the rest of this season. Another thing that I said I was going to focus on for this coming year is trying to build and develop stacks. And this is one that I know I have not been paying enough attention to. I have not been really targeting the players that are stacked with my quarterbacks, outside of it becoming a factor when I'm just analyzing deals that other people are proposing to me. So, like, I've had some people, like, ask for Ja'Marr Chase when I have Joe Burrow, so I've made sure to add on a little bit of an extra tax if they're trying to get him from me. But outside of that, I haven't done any, like, seeking out, oh, hey, you know what? I've got Derek Carr, so I want to try and get Rashid Shaheed. Or I have Aaron Rodgers, so I want to try and go out and get Alan Lazard. And, like, things like that where, it's not the absolute top guys, but especially in a lot of the best ball leagues that I play in, you can take advantage of those stacks much more than in lineup leagues. In lineup leagues, they both need to be good enough to make your lineup week after week, and so they have to be of a certain quality. Whereas in a best ball league, you can kind of rely on a little bit more of, okay, yeah, this guy might not make my lineup every week, but when he does, the quarterback's also making the lineup. And so if he's my quarterback 3 and he's my wide receiver 8, like, when they both peak, they'll both make it, and they will cover for my quarterback 1 or 2 who has a bad week, and my wide receiver 3 or 4 that has a bad week. So, like, those sorts of things that where you're, like, pairing those matchups, that's the kind of stuff that stacking is for. And I have not been doing any of that. So one thing that I'm going to try and focus on some of these trades that I start sending out, I mentioned that I'm sending out trades every Wednesday night, is I'm going to try and send out some trades to try and get some more stacks. We're at the point in the season where a lot of these teams are more willing to give up players. They're seeing, hey, my team is not doing as well. You know what? I need to start trying to tank. And on some of my teams, I'm like, hey, I'm trying to bolster them. I'm trying to make them stronger. And so can I go out there and actually obtain some of those players now? When I was trying to do it previously, it was like mid-August. And people don't really want to move a lot of guys in mid-August. Like, they aren't too motivated to move, especially some of those higher tier assets when you're talking guys that are worth a first or more or worth multiple seconds. Like, it's hard to actually get those guys off of the teams they're already on because those teams want to see if those guys do well. They want to see if their team happens to luck into doing much better. And so that's the sort of thing that, all right, you need to know that you can take advantage of the time of year now and start actually accumulating those guys. And so I know I need to focus on building those stacks. I have not been building them. I haven't really given enough thought to them. Like, I've had it in the back of my head, but I haven't focused on that. So that's going to be my biggest change, thinking back through, okay, what am I doing this point in the season? I feel like I've gotten a lot of the process things down, except for that I'm not targeting stacks. I'm not targeting specific players. I'm going, hey, I kind of want a player in this value range. This is what I have to give up, you know, those sorts of things. Whereas I need to get more aggressive and more creative. I need to be like, all right, you know what, rather than sitting here and I know on this team that I've got DK Metcalf and I've got Debo Samuel and they're putting up good wide receiver points for me. But if I'm sitting there and I have Baker Mayfield on this roster, why don't I have Mike Evans or Chris Godwin? I should be willing to trade that DK Metcalf or that Debo Samuel, pay a little bit extra in terms of, like, yeah, I'm not going to, like, make it egregious or anything, but maybe I can take Debo Samuel. And I can also do a running back flip. Maybe I've got, I don't know, I've got a Kenneth Walker on this team. And I can go to the team that has Chris Godwin. I can get Chris Godwin back. And I can also maybe get a couple other running backs. I can get an Aaron Jones. And maybe my tight end has been doing really bad. And I can go and try and grab Tucker Kraft or something. Because a lot of teams that have Tucker Kraft already had another tight end they were playing over him. Like, now you've come up with a creative offer that, sure, the value, it doesn't look the best on your side. But you're getting yourself a stack. You're still having a valuable running back that is going to put points up on your team. You're upgrading another position. And you are getting what you need on your team and making your team better in the long run. And all you're doing is just shifting some of these guys around that maybe you weren't as willing to move a little earlier in the year. I know I was hesitant to do things like that, where I'm taking one of my players who is doing just fine. Sure, Deebo Samuel was injured for a little bit, but now people are looking at, hey, they've got all the running back issues in San Francisco. He's probably going to get used more in the run game, and he already gets used a bunch in the pass game. Like, those sorts of things where there's a narrative around a player that he's just fine, he's doing well, he's doing always what we expected him to do. You should be willing to move him for another player that's that exact same way, and you just need to come up with something that kind of changes the value around, changes a couple other things, that maybe you go backwards somewhere else a tiny bit in order to move forwards at the position that you're looking at in order to try and stack with your quarterback. And so those are the kinds of things that I need to make more of a note of, going out there, paying attention, and saying, I am actively looking to make these kinds of trades. That is my biggest change for my process this coming week and the remainder of this season. Everything else I feel like I have ingrained pretty well in what I was already doing. And the last thing that I looked at was one-for-one trades. Anecdotally, I've noticed them to start to pick up, that more people, as bye weeks have come, have started to do those one-for-ones and just be able to plug guys into their lineup to try and win a week, to try and put up more points, things like that. And so that is something that you need to continue to grind. And much like the trades thing of, hey, try to send your trades out Wednesday and try to get them done by Thursday, because that's when most people are trying to get trades done. You need to just go out there and do it. Continue to send out those one-for-ones. Let people know what your prices are. Set up those auto-accept trade blocks. Make sure that people know, hey, if I'm looking for a spot start running back, if I just go over to your team, I can see exactly the prices on the players, and I've got this third that I'm willing to spend. What's the best thing I can get? Rather than them going out there and trying to spam all the other managers, I mean, they might try to do it, and usually they'll be low balls, and when they get rejected four times, they'll be like, all right, you know what? Koopa over here, he's just got a third sitting right there next to that Ty Johnson. That's something that I got done this week. Just somebody going into the Monday night game, actually, was just like, hey, I've got James Cook in my lineup currently, and I don't know if he's going to play. Can I just set up a trade offer with you where I would send you a third and you send me Ty Johnson? And as soon as James Cook is ruled out, I'll just accept it. And then I plug Ty Johnson to my lineup. And I was like, sure, I'll send you the deal. I'll let it sit there. And then if that happens, then we'll just go through and I get a third, you get Ty Johnson. He also ended up sending me a player, so that way he could actually move him in his lineup. But it ended up being a third and Malachi Corley for Ty Johnson. All right, that's fine. I don't care too much. I got my third out of Ty Johnson, and he gets the player that he wanted to stick in his lineup because he needed some points in order to try and win his week. And those are the kinds of things that are going to be coming more and more common as the season goes on. As you get later into the year and somebody who is on the verge of playoff contention or is contending for a better seed, going up against another good seed, and they're like, man, I've got a bunch of injuries, you know, I've got a bunch of buys this week, and I'm sitting here trying to plug in somebody who's projected to score 3 points into my lineup this week. And you're sitting there, you're trying to tank, and you've got that backup player who's projected to put up 10. Well, of course you want to trade that guy off your team. You don't want to eat those 10 points onto yours, and there's your perfect trade partner. But you just need to make sure they know that you are available for them, and vice versa. So that's the main thing. Just make sure you're continuing to grind. Make sure that you are going out there and paying attention to all of your leagues and continuing to focus on them. We're starting to get to the point where you might start to feel a little burned out. You need to power through. You need to continue to focus on doing your active management, continuing to do everything that you need. By the time we get to Thanksgiving, by the time we get to the end of November, it's going to start to die down. You'll be doing those couple last little desperate things in your leagues that don't have trade deadlines in order to try and get yourself into that better seed in the playoffs or even just get yourself into playoffs. But by that point, most things are going to be set. Right now, things are not set. Right now is when the Wild West is still happening. And you need to take advantage of that. You need to be out there being active and showing everyone that you are active and you are ready to deal. On to the final two segments of the show that we cover every single week. We first have the number of players rostered on various teams. The number for quarterbacks has gone down a little bit to 58. It was at 60 last week. Running back has also gone down by one from 101 to 100. Wide receiver has maintained at 136, and tight end has also gone down at 52. I think this past week we saw a bunch of players ending up coming off of IR, and that in general kind of pushed those overall numbers down. We saw it start to go up a little bit as we saw players going on to the injured reserve. We're starting to see a lot of those guys, especially the ones that were on the PUP that were missing the beginning of the year, they're coming off of IR, and so they're having to either get dropped or a counterpart that's already on your roster is getting dropped. So I think that's a large part of those numbers. And we will see how this tracks as it goes on. I also see that the tight end number coming down. I think some amount of that could just be how bad tight ends are doing. It's so hard to predict, as you've kind of seen with the tight ends don't matter segment, that it's frankly just not even worth it to have a lot of those guys, even outside of like the top 35. Like those guys are putting up zeros so regularly that you don't really even need them on your team. The chance that you have your tight end 40 that you have rostered versus the random guy who's going to be tight end 65 that you might want that guy on your team next week is so minimal that it's almost one of those, why do you even roster one of those guys? So I think that's potentially part of that for this week, and we'll see whether that starts to change as more players start going to IR. Rashid Shaheed did just go to IR, and so he's one of those players, okay, we might be bumping up the wide receiver number a little bit. On to tight ends don't matter. Last week, so I had said Ben Sims, I wanted to start if Tucker Kraft was out. Tucker Kraft was not out. And so instead, Ian Thomas, he came off the injured reserve. And so I said, start Ian Thomas. Unfortunately, Ben Sims was the one that caught two catches for 38 yards. And Ian Thomas was the one that got literally zeros in the stat line. So this week, I'm not going to rely on Ian Thomas. It looks like either he was getting slow rolled, in which case I need to wait a little longer, or they're just going to roll with Jatavion Sanders over him. So instead, I'm going to focus on some of the other options that we have, and those other options are Ben Sims, Grant Calcaterra, Will Dissly, and Lucas Kroll. Honestly, Will Dissly is one of those guys that should have been picked up by this point. He's been doing consistently, getting a consistent number of targets, getting two or three receptions per game. This most recent game, he happened to get four. Like, that's solid for what we're looking for out of just a replacement level tight end. So I'm going to switch over to Will Dissly this week. He has some really good matchups. So he's had a couple so far this season. Weeks 2, 3, 4 were good matchups. And also week 6 last week. But 7 and 8 are good matchups, and then he also has good matchups weeks 11 through 16. So I might be looking to ride him for a good while and just take the little bits of points that he's giving us. At the very least, he's not giving us zeros, which we've eaten a lot of these weeks, and so that's something that I need to look more into, okay, what is the level of tight end that I'm investing in on this tight ends don't matter? This strategy can change over the course of a season, and right now it's looking like I need to just get a little bit more reliability rather than necessarily shooting for the home runs. So my pick is Will Dissly for this week. And if you wanted to choose somebody else, feel free to go for it. I personally, if Will Dissly was not here, would have gone with Ben Sims, see if I can roll it back with him, especially with Luke Musgrave being on the injured reserve. He's going to be that second tight end there in Green Bay, and it seems like from what Ben Sims did last week that he's somebody that Jordan Love is willing to target. That's all I have for this week. As always, you can reach me out to me on Twitter at Dynasty Koopa or on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. And if you have not gone and signed up for the tools on the South Harmon website, go to southharmonff.com to check them out. As always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.